Today we celebrate the Annunciation of the Angel Gabriel to our Blessed Mother. And normally this is held on March 25th, but because the fifth Sunday of Lent, well, it was March 25th this year, that trumps it, that takes priority over the Annunciation for the Sunday. And so the church moves a feast day to celebrate it today on Monday the 26th. So that means a couple important things. One is that if you gave up something for Lent, you're allowed to have it today. Okay, unless you gave up gossip or something like that. But if you gave up something good like chocolate or candy, you're allowed to have it today since it is a major feast day. We celebrate the Holy Mass with the Gloria and the Creed. So you are allowed to rejoice today. It is a great feast day for the church. So it is. The other thing to remember is that you only have 9 more shopping months till Christmas, okay? Because this is the incarnation. This is when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is when God became a little tiny human baby in Mary's womb. When God began to exist in Mary's womb, the Annunciation, and the Lord would spend 9 months in His mother's womb, and we celebrate His birthday 9 months from now at Christmas. So today has been called the dawn of our salvation. It's been called the beginning of our salvation. Today's feast day has been called the most important event in all of human history, when God became man. Did God become man at Christmas? He became man today, 9 months earlier, since life begins at conception. So we celebrate, this is a great pro-life feast day, right? Because we know that Jesus' life on earth began today. When we take a look at this very beautiful reading from St. Luke's Gospel, it says this occurred in the 6th month. What does that mean? It was the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy that the angel Gabriel, who had been so active in talking to Zechariah, was now coming to Our Lady as God's ambassador to bring about this peace plan between heaven and earth. He went to this little town of Galilee, most likely found Our Lady kneeling at prayer, perhaps reading the scriptures. The tradition is that maybe she was reading the prophet Isaiah, how a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and he'd be called Emmanuel. So it says Mary was betrothed, this very solemn engagement, to Joseph. Joseph was of the house of David. And normally, men and women married within their own household, within their own tribe. So most likely Our Lady would have been from the house of David. But even if she wasn't, because Joseph would become the foster father of Jesus, then Jesus would come from the house of David. So Joseph was integral because he was from the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Miriam, which means like an ocean of grace. And the angel came to her and said, "Hail, full of grace." He doesn't say Mary's name. He doesn't say "Hail Mary, full of grace." He says, "Hail, full of grace," because that is Our Lady's name. Our Lady is Charakatomene, you who have been perfected in God's grace. Hail, full of grace. That's Mary's title. That word, the only time it's ever used in Scripture, is the perfect past tense of a completed action done to perfection. Mary is full of grace, perfected in God's grace. That was her name. Hail, full of grace. The angel didn't say, "May the Lord be with you," as the angel said throughout the Old Testament. It was a statement of fact. The Lord is with you. See, Mary's relationship to God is unique. She doesn't have to be prayed that may the Lord be with her. It's a statement of fact. The Lord is with you. It says Mary was not troubled at the presence of an angelic being because her dignity was greater than an angel, because she was immaculately conceived and she was to become the mother of God. It says she was troubled at the words of the angel. The words, you know, when you pay somebody very holy a compliment, they get troubled. Like if you tell Mother Teresa, "You're a great saint," she was always troubled when people said that. So this great compliment, "Full of grace, the Lord is with you," troubled Our Lady, made her feel uncomfortable, wondering what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel says, "Don't be afraid, you found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus." Now Mary's response Well, first the angel says he'll be great, he'll be the son of the Most High, he'll have the throne of David. So in other words, he'll be a king. Mary, you'll be a queen. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will have no end. It'll be eternal. And Mary said, well, how can this be since I have no husband? See, the fathers of the church say that this indicated that Mary had already, and Joseph had already, agreed to live a celibate marriage, that Mary was going to continue to remain a virgin even within their marriage. It's the only way to explain Mary's response. How can this be, since I have no relations with a man? Obviously, Mary knew where babies came from, and she knew if they were going to have a regular marriage, then the child would be born of them. But Mary says, well, how can this be? I've already made this vow of virginity to God. We've already dedicated ourselves to God. Well, then the angel Gabriel explains to her, you will remain a virgin, but you'll also be able to conceive a child. It'll be in a spiritual, mystical way by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. So this young girl, 14, 16 years old perhaps, the angel reveals the Blessed Trinity. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Most High, the Father, will overshadow you, and the child will be the Son of God. So this is the first time in all the Bible that the Trinity was revealed. And then just to prove that this could happen, the angel says, and your elderly barren cousin Elizabeth, well past childbearing age, has already conceived a son. She's already 6 months pregnant. And that miracle will reaffirm the fact that this miracle can take place, for nothing is impossible for God. And the gospel concludes by saying Mary's response, behold, I am the handmaid, I am the slave, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. Whatever you want, I will do. And so at that very moment, the incarnation took place. God became present in Mary's womb at the incarnation, and our salvation began to be brought about. And so that's what we celebrate today, this great feast day. And so what I'd recommend is that, you know, every time we say the Hail Mary, we remember this Annunciation. They say every time we say a Hail Mary, it gives Our Lady rejoicing. Our Lady is filled with joy every time we say the Hail Mary, because it reminds her of when that angel said the first Hail Mary to her 2,000 years ago. Whenever we pray the Angelus, either at 6 in the morning, 12 noon, or 6 at night, or whenever we say it, we're commemorating the great event of the Annunciation, the moment of the Incarnation. So what a great feast day it is today. Such a great pro-life feast day, since we believe and we know that life begins at conception. If Jesus' life began at conception, then every life begins at conception.